Hello, and welcome to another Sarasota Institute podcast. The Sarasota Institute is a 21st century think tank that is focused on 10 major topics we feel important for the future of humanity. Please go to sarasotainstitute.global to learn more. The Sarasota Institute is a nonprofit corporation.
Hi, welcome to the Sarasota Institute podcast. I'm Jason Voss, one of the three co-founders of the Sarasota Institute. And joining me today is Dr. Alan Weiss. He is the chief marketing officer of the Blue Zone Projects by ShareCare. Alan, welcome.
Thank you. That's actually chief medical officer.
Chief medical officer. What did I say? Marketing officer?
Marketing.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My apologies.
No worries. I'm not that creative.
Yeah. My apologies. I knew that too. So thank you for correcting me. So talk to us. What is a blue zone? I was familiar with this term, but many in our audience may not be.
The blue zones are originally areas around the world where more people live to be 100. Nice story. Fellow by the name of Dan Buettner, young when he was much earlier in his career, was tasked by National Geographic to go around the world, find where people live to be 100. Turns out there were five communities, areas around the world where this was the case. On the map, they circled them with the blue magic marker and they became blue zones. And the interesting thing is they have some nice characteristics among them where people move naturally, they have purpose, they have a work-life balance. That's a tough thing for people like yourself. And I think people who are listening are very busy these days. And three things that have to do a little bit with your eating. Don't overeat, basically eat to your 80% full. Have a plant slant diet that is not a vegetarian or a vegan diet. It means just limiting your meat and chicken and fish to a few for celebratory meals, a few times a week. The real thing is a few times a month. I think that's a little hard for most folks in America today, but even just cutting down on that and increasing vegetables and fruits. And then wine at 5. If you don't drink, don't start drinking. One of the groups, the Adventists out in California, in Loma Linda, California, they don't drink. That's part of their belief. And it's more the socialization than the actual one glass of wine, the social life. And then I think most importantly, the base, have friends and family. This loneliness epidemic that was part of the COVID, loneliness has the same mortality as smoking, which is, so having friends, having family, interacting with family, and then people who go to a faith-based organization a couple of times a month to live 4 to 14 years longer, perhaps socialization, perhaps belief in whatever, but it doesn't matter which religious organization, it's just having that getting together and having a belief. So those nine characteristics were common among the five communities. And now we've spread to, in America, over 70 communities, 4.5 million folks. And these people are living longer, happier, and healthier lives. You're broadcasting out of Sarasota. I'm in Naples right now. And in Southwest Florida, we added 6/10 of a year of life expectancy for 400,000 folks across the socioeconomic spectrum. So it's not just, and you think of the West Coast of Florida as being affluent. You go inland, and it's agricultural, it's resource challenged. All sorts of problems with human trafficking and drug trafficking and everything else. But everybody is affected positively when they've got purpose in their lives and they follow some of these principles.
So for the audience, it to me sounds like it's a systems level approach to well-being as opposed to, and I'm going to characterize this. This is my characterization. Traditional Western medicine treats the body almost like a carpentry project, right? There's if we have a problem with the bones, we go in there and saw things and we staple them or hammer them or bolt them back together, so on and so forth. It sounds like Blue Zones is more of a systems level view of health. And I'm guessing that translates into and here I'm going to borrow an old Greek adage of health, as within, so without, as above, so below. Is that a fair characterization?
Very much so. Absolutely. And to put a fine point on it, we're a repair shop nation. We spend 90 to 95% of the money on health right now, on repair shop chronic illnesses, which kill about over 80% of the population dies with chronic illness. And we may have extended life expectancy, but we need to extend healthy life expectancy. So having a system-wide approach, nudging people in the right way. If you hang around with healthy people, you'll be healthier. if you have an area where you can safely walk and aren't worried about getting mugged or whatever, you'll start to walk. If you walk into a restaurant and they've got healthy items on the top, attractively priced, that's what you end up ordering. So getting people to move and nudging them in the right direction as a system makes a huge deal of difference. We get into the school systems. So you get into a school system and you get kids when they're young, the next thing you know, they're active all their lives and they don't have, then we're trying to overcome the childhood obesity epidemic, which is killing people. It's as bad as the adult obesity epidemic. We were the fattest nation in the country. Mexico has now exceeded us. So we're only second place in that, but nonetheless, you get the point.
Fattest nation in the world.
In the world, yeah.
Yeah, you said in the country. Our nation is the fattest of the country.
No, wait. Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. We both had our non sequiturs so far this morning. Yeah. So you know, talk to me. Like I'm a critic of longevity being the only measure. It's a convenient one for healthcare, and it's a nice proxy. But one of the things that I like about Blue Zones Project is that it's not just longevity. Talk to us about some of the other measurable results besides, hey, people are living longer.
So the other thing is people are living happier and are more fulfilled. So if you look at, and this is a simple, anybody who's listening today can do, just Google a real age test by ShareCare and it'll pop right up. It's free. It's about a 15-minute test. And it asks you some easy questions, height, weight, if you happen to know your cholesterol, and then ask you whether you're happy or satisfied, or you're worried about money, you have food insecurity, and it will tell you your physiological age compared to your chronological age. So there can be a big gap, particularly as you get older. You can be a lot healthier or not as healthy. So your point is well taken. It's not just the number of years you live, it's the number of healthy years you live. There's actually an economic term for that, life, more than life expectancy. So all these things being happy, you can be miserable for the last 5 years of your life with a chronic illness, diabetes, complications from high blood pressure, heart, you know, all sorts of things, bad arthritis. That's not fun. That's not adding a pleasurable or an economic benefit to society when you're that way. So just being healthier is a big deal. So in this, there's also, and you can just go to put your zip code into Kaiser Health Foundation has a zip code thing. You put your zip code in, and it can tell your life expectancy. So we've got a small home in Tampa and one here in Naples, and the difference is 6 years. So I should be spending more time in Naples, but it's more than just that number. It's also how well you are while you're living 6 years longer, and that's key. And we as a nation are just, you know, not into that. But what you can do also is, there's another index called the Community Well-Being Index, which includes 600 parameters that are publicly available, and the real age test. So you can get down the zip code for this Community Well-Being Index, which is what we did during COVID. So COVID hit, we're doing the scavenger hunt or the Hunger Games scenario to get a vaccine or to get toilet paper, whatever it is. So we had a lot of time on our hands. So we looked at the communities, 70 communities that were Blue Zones communities versus the rest of the nation. And they had much more resilience. They had they did much better with loneliness, with all the other parameters you could measure during COVID. So if you're healthier going into something that's like a stress like we just went through, you'll do better. It makes perfect sense. So these other parameters are included in the 600 plus real age tests, all combined into well-being. And that also, just Google Community Well-Being Index by ShareCare, will pop right up, and you can put in your county, compare it to your state, compare your state to the nation, and so on.
So, Alan, we've talked so far in our conversation about Blue Zones and its effect on individuals. One of the things that I'm really keen to hear your story on is, acting as a change agent at the community level is typically tough, and you're making a systems level view of health, right? Including the environment people operate in. You've had tremendous success, right? Like if our audience goes to ShareCare's Blue Zones webpage, you'll see a lot of success stories. You guys in your literature have many success stories. How do you begin? And that's the first question. And then a close corollary to that question is, Who's the sponsor at the community level where you get leverage? And leverage is, I'm guessing, so important to making these things stick, whether it's a mayor or a city council. Anyway, I'm really curious to hear this story. How do you guys actually affect change at the community level?
Those are two very, very pertinent questions. So number one, it's typically we'll get a call from somebody who's heard about Blue Zones or somebody wants to make a change in their community, some community leader. And at that point, we'll start talking to them. And the two questions we ask is, number one, can you aggregate another group of concerned people, citizens? And you mentioned a few already, some elected officials, United Way, Salvation Army, school superintendent, police chief, and other influence people. So, and typically these people said, yeah, I'm connected to everybody. I go to all their balls and their charity events and their races and all that stuff. And we got a name for our community, Broward One, Brevard Better, you know, all sorts of, and I said, well, how are you doing with it? What are your metrics? And at that point, there's usually a little silence. Well, we feel good about what we're doing and we're working hard. And we really don't have metrics. So I'll say, check your life expectancy. So you can go back a couple of years very easily with that. Those sites I mentioned, that's free. You go to the community well being indexed, you can check. And they typically haven't. So then we say, we can give you a program that has been metrically proven. We'll do an overview to begin with. And in 1 year, you have modest results. In 2 years, you will knock yourselves out with success. We have yet to fail. And then that's the process. Now, it's not expensive when you consider the cost savings. So then we'll say to the person who's interested, do you have any people in your community who think they're paying too much for their health insurance? It's 100% yes. And have your health insurance premiums gone up in the last couple of years? Oh, yeah, it's terrible. I've gone up 8%, 10%. You know, inflation's now 7.5%. So, yeah, well, we can help you with that also. If you've got a self-insured large employer, typically a healthcare system, that's interested in having a healthier community, they're a perfect sponsor. So when I was leading a 715-bed healthcare system in Naples, we were paying for our own medical care for our own 6,000 employees and their families. And we ended up saving 50%. Well, that more than paid for the program. And then the county employees wanted to do the same. They're self-insured, the city employees, the sheriff's department, and the school system. So once you get all those folks on board, you've got a network into the community. And once you get about a third of the community involved, everybody who was the original idea of getting it going or the original sponsor, they look like heroes. They're the folks with the white hats on. So instead of paying for sickness and for loneliness and for drug addiction and all the other stuff that you pay for, mental health, all very important, they're the end product of not being healthy early on. So you start to change your community early on by getting into the school system and getting into some other public areas and make it basically available to everyone. You can address diversity, equity, and inclusion. You can direct the environmental concerns. It affects everything. It's a cultural changing item. When you walk into a restaurant, that's a modest restaurant and, you know, like a diner. And I'm thinking of one in particular that's up and down the West Coast of Florida, or a breakfast place that's nice. They'll have healthy items on the menu and they'll feature them as Blue Zones items. Then you go into a steakhouse, a big expensive steakhouse where you go to an expense account. And instead of just having the 55-pound porterhouse steak, they'll also have a vegetarian platter because they're making vegetables anyway. And they want to be able to sell if they've got two couples going out. And one of the people in that foursome doesn't eat meat, they want to be able not to lose that foretop. So they change their menu. So the whole thing starts a cultural change. And then the Chamber of Commerce says, well, we're the healthiest community in the country. The Chamber gets involved. The realtors love it because they say, hey, not only can you come to Naples, but you can live in the healthiest community in the country that just lengthens its life expectancy. So, you know, life changes in multiple ways. So getting people organized, getting some funders, and then having the guts to make a change. What holds people up is the tyranny of the present. Namely, they're so busy putting out fires, they don't have time to do fire prevention. Or we've always been this way, learned helplessness. You know, multi-generationally, we've been a challenged community and, you know, my mother was like this, my grandmother was like this. So I said, well, maybe it's time to change. Maybe it's time to think of something else. And the other thing is, sadly, with healthcare, I practiced for 23 years and ran a big system for 18 years. We thrive on illness. We love sickness. Now, I'm saying that facetiously, so I don't want to be misquoted. That's not really true. But economically, that's what happens. Our system is designed for the insurers, for the providers, for the device manufacturers, for the pharmaceutical firms. If everyone was healthy, we'd have a Maytag repair man shop where the Maytag guy's just sitting around doing nothing. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We'd have people living longer, happier, healthier lives.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I've actually served as an advisor to a company that sought to measure the healthcare outcomes from different therapies and other healthcare interventions, because sadly, it's not measured frequently. But that's a whole big topic, and it's a very sort of nitty-gritty topic. For our audience, talk to me about how you mentioned community leaders need to get involved. Who pays for all of this? Is it businesses themselves? Is it the local governments? And then related to that, frequently getting the community, and including its citizens, the businesses involved, and the body politic within a community to all work together is tough. It sounds like you do get them to work. Is there some secret sauce there? Like what are you doing?
Resilience. So originally when we got involved back in 2015, we didn't have a 15-year history of guaranteed success. So typically governments are profit margin squeezed. Namely, they don't have money for anything. They're good influencers, but they don't have money. You need to get the self-insured employers, the people who are paying for care, the insurance companies, the big insurance companies, I won't mention by name, but you can name them yourself. They have mixed feelings about getting people healthier. They make money off a percent of premium. So when healthcare is heavily utilized, premium, their what they call their medical loss ratio, the amount of money they're paying for claims, goes up. And then the next year they raise their rates. And when the rates go up, they get a percent of the rate. So they're conflicted intellectually or financially with getting people healthier. But if you get somebody who's got the wallet in their pocket, the CEO of a company that's self-insured, hearing that they can save money on health insurance costs and have a healthier, more engaged and satisfied workforce that's easier to recruit and retain, at that point, that's a home run. And then they say, look, you can be, you're a big employer in this town. You've got 4,000, 6,000 people you insure. You can be the hero and then spread what you're doing to everybody else. It's the right thing to do. Plus, which it's part of your mission statement. Whether you're producing manufacturing parts for automobiles or washing machines, you're helping people with transportation. You're helping people keep their clothes clean, but you're also helping them keep healthy, and you're keeping your workers healthier. So it's just a question of getting their attention, and then the governmental folks, and you'll get some naysayers. But you don't spend, you know, the people who don't want to be healthy, Darwin takes care of them.
Well, true that. So last question for you. Actually, second to last question. Last question is a layup. So last, like, sort of deep dive thought question. Blue Zones Project, it's tough, what you just described, right? And tough, you use the word resilient. We have to be resilient, meaning there's a lot of work involved to make these changes. What are the future goals for Blue Zones Project? And are there plans for how you scale so you get an accelerated change? I almost wonder, you know, if these unhealthy habits are, you know, causing longevity to go like this, and then we have Blue Zones, you know, trying to go the other direction. You guys have to have more momentum than the other narratives and the other ways of being. How do you ensure that happens?
So we're going digital so we can improve our scale and scope. Originally, it was a lot of hands-on work. But we've got enough policies and procedures now. We've got books of, you know, how to convert a restaurant, how to convert a school system, how to convert the people who are newly retired, older retirees, and so on. So we've got all this digital knowledge, and that we're digitizing. And we also have we have much better metrics, and I mentioned before, the Community Wellbeing Index and the Real Age Test. So we can tell what's going on. We took a community like Brevard, North Carolina, 2 years ago, started right before the COVID. I mean, go figure on timing. And they improved markedly during the COVID epidemic compared to the rest of Western North Carolina, compared to the state and compared to the nation. So at 2 years, they had objective measures of improvement. And that was done with just three people on site and a lot of digital connections. So even now, this way we're doing the podcast, we hooked up in a second, literally, this as we went to record this. So the digital technology is there. People are used to being digital, and we just decreased the transportation time. Normally, I'd be driving up to Sarasota to be with you, which is, you know, by the time there and back, it's half a day. But we're here together, and I've got another meeting, you know, in an hour with a guy I met a couple of weeks ago in Chicago at the American Hospital Association, who's also interested in this. So just spreading the word, it becomes a self-perpetuating narrative. And the fact is, people talk to people, everybody travels around, and everybody wants to be like a community that's healthier. I mean, do you want to live shorter, sicker, and sadder, or live healthier, happier, and longer? It's up to you.
Yeah, agreed. So this is the layup question. Where can people find out more information about the work you're doing?
So just Google Blue Zones Project by ShareCare. That's the easiest thing. I'm happy. And I'll share my email address. It's Allen, A-L-L-E-N, dot Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, at ShareCare.com. It's A-L-L-E-N dot Weiss at ShareCare.com. So I'm happy to respond. But meanwhile, just get Blue Zones Project by ShareCare, and you'll see the communities. You'll see what's going on. Check out. You can see, you know, see how what your chances of living are by checking out your zip code. I mean, what could be easier? Now, it doesn't tell you whether they're going to be healthy or not during those last few years. I literally have an article I'm writing right now. I write a weekly for the Blue Zones Project, and I do almost a monthly for another group. So there's a lot of literature out there. This works. So what's the difference between people trying this on their own and the Blue Zones Project? When you have it codified, when you have real metrics, it's like going to school and taking a course pass, fail, or for grades. And I don't know about you, but the pass, fail courses, it was not the same diligence. And I'm just being honest, that I had when I was, you know, pre-med and wanted to go to medical school and I wanted to get good grades. But this is a discipline, and we're having good luck and success inculcating this digitally in the communities. And we can do it efficiently, and we have a product for workplaces that works very well. You know, we got some big organizations like Delta Airlines, Adventist Health. I mean, those are big boys and big organizations that are involved. They know it helps their workforce, their colleagues, be healthier, happier, more engaged, and satisfied.
Alan, thanks so much for being with us. And thank you, audience, also for being with us. This and all the other podcast recordings for Sarasota Institute are, as always, at sarasotainstitute.global. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please go back to where you downloaded this podcast to find another one that might be of interest to you. Thank you.